personally, I love that song. It says what we need to be, and I trust what we are. We are going across the street and around our nation and around the world with the gospel. And I hope we just increase and increase until the Lord comes. I'm not going to take a whole lot of time. Most of you have already heard Brother Lapish. How many of you have been here at least one night, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, and you've already heard him? So, okay, it's almost, looks to me like about 99%. There may be a couple I missed. But Brother Lapish pastored Central Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. We met at Baptist Bible College. He was already a graduate of Ohio State when we met. So we were both Buckeye fans. And that drew us together. And but more importantly, we were in the same local church serving the Lord. And doctrine was, we just agreed. And so the Lord took two people that are of very different backgrounds. A lot different. And he didn't even know how to put a worm on a hook when I first met him. So I taught him how to fish and, you know, some of the things that just good old country boys just know. And now he's even handling a Glock almost like a country boy. Anyway, we had a good time of fellowship. But more importantly, through the years, what's impressed me with Brother Lapish has been his character. He's had hardships. He's had troubles. And all that goes with the ministry. But he's been a loyal and a dear and a true friend through the years. And he mentioned to you about calling me as like 2 or 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. But he called me. There's times he would reach into his desk as a pastor, pull out some sermon tapes, put it in an envelope, ship it to me in Germany. We were not on, you know, FPO or anything like that, or APO. We were, it cost to send something direct to us. And he did. And of course, he supported us, his church supported us through those years. So it's been a privilege for me to have him in. I trust he's been a blessing to you folks, and that he will today. So, Brother Lapish, you come, share with us what the Lord's laid on your heart.
Then my lips were dry, and he pulled out lipstick. He says, "You want some lipstick?" I said, "No, I'm not the kind of guy." He says, "Oh, what, wrong color? I don't know." So, what do you think, Fran? Good? 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 Yeah, yeah. All right. As you see, you have been a blessing to me. I have thoroughly enjoyed my time with the Adams, of course. It's always, we'd come for nothing just to spend time with them. And, of course, Joe, his wife, and their family. But meeting with you, you've been an encouragement to me. And you know, that's how it ought to work. And the singing, Brother Mike, and the solos, and the accompaniment, and the choir numbers, just excellent. I my spirits have been lifted. I really don't want to go. I don't want your pastor to hear that. I really don't want to go. I'd love to stay. Oh, I'd love the scenery. Boy, God has blessed you with a beautiful state. And but nevertheless, we are here for the mission conference. And what I would like to do is take the words Annual Faith Promise Mission Conference. There's five of them. And look at what each one has and the significance to its total title. You know, we just don't give names of things without maybe having some meanings for them. And I think there is something about a person's name. If you were to study your name, I think you might find some wonderful things about it. So, with that said, we're going to look at annual Faith Promise Mission Conference. I'm not going to take them in that order, but I will take each word and see the significance to making the whole phrase what it really is. So let's pray and we'll get started. Father, it's been so good to be here, Mountain Springs Fellowship Baptist Church. Lord, I've enjoyed the time I've spent with everybody I've had a chance to talk to. We've had prayer, we've had songs, we've had encouragement. Saw the mission slides. We have another missionary family here, Brother Joe and his wife and their family. And we recognize them in prayer today that you'd bless them and prepare them for tonight and the people with the message they'll give. Lord, help us to get something from Thy Word this day. And if there be one here without Christ, I pray that this morning they might be saved before it's eternally too late. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Number one, the word annual, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 10. And herein I give my advice. For this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, what? Perform the doing of it. Mission conferences are annual. And, you know, I pastored for 30 years. That meant every year for 30 years we had a mission conference. And every so often someone would go, oh, no, another mission conference. Do we have to do them every year? And I thought about that. And I thought, well, maybe we ought to do them every other year. You know, when someone says something to you and it takes you a step back by what they said, you think on it. And I thought about it, and I thought this. If I were to tell my wife, oh, another anniversary, can't we just skip a year? I would have to duck. If I told my grandkids, oh, another birthday this year, can't we just skip it and do it every other year? Oh, I would so break their hearts. And if I decided, oh, Christmas, it's every year, let's just skip a year. Boy, I'd have a revolt from all the kids, would I not? And if I said in the Bible back in the Old Testament, ah, oh, Holy of Holies, you know, every year. So you see, having a Faith Promise Mission Conference every year is really important. Just like we have revivals, Sunday school campaigns, mission conference, etc. We have Easter every year and celebrate the resurrection of Christ. In my mind, the annual Faith Promise Mission Conference, at least to me, I'm not saying it ought to be the same to you or your pastor because all conferences are important, but the Faith Promise Conference held elite status in my mind. It was some time where we could all come together. We had other families come in when it kind of just revived the church in the thought that every local church has been mandated from God, from heaven, to reach the world. If this was the only church ever to exist, it would be your job to reach the world. And you may think, well, we couldn't do that. Well, that's what happened when Wash Pennington told his church, the Fellowship Baptist Church, that he wanted to reach every person on planet Earth with a gospel tract. I'm sure some of those people back there in 1978 laughed at that suggestion. But here, 37 years later, 4.3 billion people have been reached on planet Earth because one church had that vision. So we never know what's going to happen with a mission conference, what God will bring from it, what will erupt from it. So it is an annual event. And make sure in this church it is always an annual event. Number two, let's look at the idea of mission. Missions, the act of sending. It's one sent forth. It's like someone who's on a mission. Have you ever been on a mission? Oh, if you've never been on a mission, you haven't lived. We had a flag football team at our school, and every year we lost to Barberton Christian Academy. Now, Barberton is a suburb of Akron, which is about 2 miles north of our town, Columbus. And it would burn me to no end that this pastor, who was a few years younger, beat me every single year in flag football. In a particular upcoming year, my middle child, Nathan, who was in a great athlete. It was his senior year, and I said, we got him. And you know what? In the state championship, what happened? We lost. Again. But I looked at our team, and I thought, Nathan is the only one graduating. Everybody is back. And I felt like God kind of encouraged me. And you know, how can you say God's on your side when you're playing another Christian school? I can't go that far. But I felt really encouraged. And from that point until next year, I was on a mission with that flag football team. We were going to beat Barberton. And in the championship game, we were beating them 52-3. And their coach came over. This is the guy who beat me every year for like 20 years in a row. He said, "Brother Lapris, don't you have any younger kids you can play? Our kids are so discouraged." I said, "Absolutely not. Game on. No way." You ever been on a mission like that where you just have to get something done? One year we were going to break the record of attendance that we could find going back maybe 100 years. We were going to try to have 400. And you know what your gifts are. One of my gifts is planning and executing. God has just given me that gift. My youngest, Adam, cannot plan and he can execute nothing. He didn't get my gift passed on to him. But I got my gift, I believe, from my dad and mom, who are both great at that. And we were going to have over 400, I think, and break the record. And I was on a mission. And the last Saturday, before that next Sunday, we all met at 9. And from 9 to 12, we're knocking on doors, talking to people, begging people, pushing people, threatening people. No, threatening them. To come to church. And then from 12 to 12:30, we met at a fast food restaurant. And then from 12:30 to 4, we went out again. And I was on a mission. Boy, I was there at 5 a.m., waiting on those people to show up at 9. And we finally got to the restaurant, and it was 12 o'clock, and at 12:30, you know what they were doing? They're still eating. So I went to every table, and I just cleaned everything off. They said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm on a mission!" Okay, old people in canes and walkers, wheelchairs, leaving their food behind. That's what I'm talking about. Is this church on a mission to get something done? Now, I know I'm killing a fly instead of using a fly swatter. I know I'm using a sledgehammer, but I hope I'm driving home a point that we ought to be on a mission for the cause of Christ. Number three, the conference. It is a conference. Look with me in Proverbs 18:1. I had so many good verses to use, but it's just not time to get them all in. Proverbs 18:1. Through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Faith Promise Mission Conference is just that. It is a conference. I've been blessed to be in quite a few conferences. And the root word of conference, of course, is to confer. It's meeting with people. The other day when Brother Charlie Shellneck, that's how he told me to pronounce it, he and his wife, we went to a restaurant, and we were conferring, passing all these ideas back and forth. And I think that's good. I like, when I pastored a church, it was kind of really universally metropolitan. We had people from all nationalities, all races, and I picked up so many different things. And as I travel around, I'm in so many different churches, I pick up a lot of good things. I confer with churches, I confer with pastors, I confer with missionaries to get idea, because information is power. You can get it. Always looking for a new way of doing something that maybe I had done differently. It's getting ideas, the meeting of the minds. D.L. Moody supposedly was instrumental in starting the Sunday school. He would have great Sunday school conferences where people would come from all over America to confer with him. Some conferences I've been to, you see a bunch of missionaries. We're all gathered together, the men discussing ideas. And you know what? All their wives are sitting together, all discussing about the mission field. And I saw their kids all together conferring, conferencing about the mission field. And then I saw members who take missionaries home, and they would pick the missionaries' minds, confer. And I tell you, when things like that happen, Faith Promise Mission giving goes up when we actually can confer and get ideas and pass them back and forth. So, it is annual. It is a mission. It is a conference. Fourth of all, it is a promise. If you start looking up the idea of promise and look in the Bible and get some dictionary definitions, you can look at the Old Testament vows, you can look at the New Testament oaths, you can look at the word promise, you can look at the word pledge, and so on and so forth. Now, to make it real easy, I'm not going to get into each one of those four words because they're really fascinating to see how those words apply themselves in the Old or New Testament or in general life in the court of law, with banking, etc. Let's just make it easy. Your promise is simply that. It's a promise. I'm not going to try to dissect that word and try to make it to be something deep and really interesting. It's simply a promise. It's you giving your word, not to Dr. Adams, not to one of the deacons, not to Brother Mike hoping to get more food. Your word that you give is a promise between you and God. Simple as that. That's not so hard. Don't make it difficult. It is a promise that you're giving to God. And when you look up all the different promises in the Bible, wow, how many promises has God given us? How many promises? How about that great promise of eternal life? I'm in some churches sometimes. They're wonderful people. They you can just sense they love the Lord, but they don't understand the security of believer like you and I would. And if I can help them, I do. It's not my job to go to a church and straight churches out in their doctrine. It's not my job to do that. But if they ask me, I try to give them help. I think that's one of the great promises that I have from God, that I am eternally secure in Christ. And a faith promise mission is us making a promise back to God, because God has never let us down with His promises. I hope we never let Him down with a promise either. I mean, when you got married, you do take vows. You make promises. Anybody get married without making any promises? I don't think there's a person alive. There might be. Who knows? I mean, I promised my wife, and her dad was there, that I promised him, he was listening, but I was really promising her that I'd take care of her and love her and do this for her and do that for her, etc. I made a promise. I made a promise. You're going to keep your word, aren't you? You promise keeper or you promise breaker? And on the other hand, her vow, her promise back to me was whatever it was at that time. It's pretty general. You ladies know what that is. And that was her promise that she made to me. Now nothing will get me more fired up than someone who breaks their word, someone who breaks their promise. Let me talk about one of the sillier ministries of the church. And I've mentioned it over quite a few times. Our church softball team. There were about eight of us who were dead. We were on a mission. You talk about mission just for that flag football. Every softball game, we were on a mission. And the game wouldn't start till 6:30. We were there at 4 o'clock, go to the batting cage, getting our hydration, getting our bats cleaned off, ready to go, oil in our gloves, throwing back and forth. And invariably, we had one or two yahoos who didn't show. Didn't show to a church softball game. Is there a bigger promise a person can make in life than to make a promise they'd be there and not show up? And somebody would say, we'll be there at 5:30. The game starts at 6:30. It's 6:45 and they show up. Ha ha ha, I'm a little late, isn't that great? Oh boy, we got him aside. We'd work him over with those baseball bats. We let him have it. And there were some people who said, yeah, we're going to be there, and didn't show at all. Not even late. They didn't call. They didn't let us know. And we got in the next day at men's prayer band, which was Saturday. And a brother would come in, kind of looking a little on the sheepish side. I said, brother, you said you were going to be there last night. You didn't show. Oh, and then all the excuses come out. And I says, you didn't show. You didn't even call us. And he finally let it out. He says, well, my wife wanted to go out to eat early in the week, and I felt like I needed to go out to eat with her. I said, then why did you tell me you were going to come? I mean, ladies, if your husband made a promise to take you out to eat, that's fine. But if you really be a good wife, you let him play softball. You can eat anytime. So, I mean, it fired me up when someone promised and broke the promise. Now, if that was a big thing with me in church softball, how do you think it was with me and other ministries of the church when someone broke a promise? Things happen. I get that. Providentially, sometimes things happen. We all get that. But is it your word or is it not your word? Your word's not to me. Your word's not to your preacher. It's your word to Almighty God. And He's not slack concerning His promises. So I hope you'll not be slack concerning your promises either. An annual promise mission conference, we have forgot a word yet. It is the word faith. Fifthly, the word faith. Look with me in Hebrews 11. Very familiar portion of Scripture. the Hall of Faith chapter, it has been called, rightfully so. Verse number one, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated. I'm going to skip down there to verse 6. But without faith, it's what? It's impossible to please him. Impossible to please him. As I did in Sunday school, and I talked about that information I shared, it was really somebody else, full disclosure. And I hate to read something publicly, but I cannot say it is good. This is a little faith promise flyer given by the Baptist Bible Fellowship, and it talks about the law of the harvest, making a promise financially to God. Here's what it says. Sparingly or bountifully, it is our choice how we give. It is your choice. Once we have decided how much to give, we commit to it. Or as the text puts it, quote, purposeth in his heart, end of quote. Then we give not grudgingly or out of necessity, nor reluctantly, nor under pressure. Why? God loves a hilarious, cheerful giver. As a result of our obedient, generous, voluntary giving, God will generously provide all we need. You think God's going to give you a number to give the missions and then him not come through? That's not the God I serve. My God, in all my years of giving the faith promise, has never left me out on a limb to dry. God will bless our faith and our obedience. God is able to, colon, several things. When we make our commitment and our promise to him, increase our income, decrease our expenditures, give us wisdom in our stewardship, what the pastor was talking about, how we spend our money, give us grace to sacrifice. It's hard to sacrifice. Oh, in America, why should we sacrifice anything? Yet, if you want to give what God wants you to, it may be a sacrifice. And God's also able to perform a miracle in your life. I was trying to think of something recent in my life to share with you where God has honored somebody's faith. Because that's what we're talking about here. You giving by faith. In other words, you can't see how you can give that. Because you know how much you make, and you, oh, I can't give that, I couldn't do everything else. Well, see, that's when God takes over. That's by faith God will increase your ability to give. My son-in-law, Matt Sable, was working for the Jacksonville Electric Company. Married my number four child, Katie, and they were looking at moving to Columbus, Ohio, working for American Electric Power. And they had looked and looked and looked and looked several times, and finally there was a position open in Columbus. Matt applied online. They flew Matt up there. He did the interview, but he had to sell his house. And the company there wouldn't buy the house and then sell it so he could move. It was all on him. And he already had his eight years in. He was a journeyman, making in the mid-30s per hour. I mean, everything was set. Had a brother there. Loved to go out fishing. In the ocean, in the ponds, had his four-wheeler, had a pond behind him. He would actually catch alligators. Yes! He's a real, I can't say mountain man, I guess, but he's a real alligator man. Well, by faith, the job came available, he applied, and they hired him almost on the spot when he went up there. Within 30 days, really 2 weeks, 30 days something else kicked in, within 2 weeks, he had to have his house listed, a potential buyer, all is moving, house to rent in Columbus, Ohio. All these things had to fall in place in 2 to 4 weeks. And I was down there during the winter ministering in churches, and he was talking to me all the time. And my daughter, Katie, she was so afraid because he really was moving there for her so she could be with her family. You tell that to your daughters and sons-in-law, whoever you got. You'll get them back here. And she was afraid that he'd get up there and maybe not get in the union or make it, and it was all going to fall back on her. So she really backed away. And she told her husband, whatever you feel God wants to do. And you know, he told me, talk about apps, he would get apps from different pastors, and they were on the radio, whether it's Charles Stanley, and every single one, and every single sermon at church had to deal with faith. And by faith, he stepped out, took the job, put the house up for sale, and you know what? Almost immediately, he got a house in Columbus, Ohio to rent. It went through. Good. I mean, for the good. and he had buyers come forward. And within 30 days, the house was sold. Everything paid off. Got the job. They actually elevated his position when he got there. Everything fell into place. And he says it was all because of faith. I feel so good my daughter's married to him. There's a man who lived by faith. And there's a man who God honored his faith. Won't God honor your faith? I'm not telling you to move somewhere else. I'm just saying with your faith, promise, commitment, God will honor your faith. But you've got to step out just like he did. As father-in-law, I was really nervous about him coming to Columbus. If it all failed, you know who he's going to get mad at. It's always me. You know, I don't care if someone does something two states away, I get the blame. It's one of those situations. But you know, by faith, it's impossible to please God. There's one little word that I didn't talk about. Let me see if I can find it here. I did some research on it. Oh, here it is. It's the word the. We just don't say annual faith promise conference. We call it the annual faith promise. And I thought about that word the. And I'll tell you, here's the reason I thought about it. And you may think I'm bragging a little bit, and maybe I am, so I'll just fully disclose that. Forgive me for bragging. But you know, when those athletes on TV for Ohio State football, they give where they're from, they never say Ohio State University. You know what they say? The Ohio State University. And I thought, boy, when did that start? And so I just thought I'd look up that word. And it says here, the word the is to be used for a natural phenomenon. It's something well-known or unique. And I know you're from New Mexico. You just can't understand how big it is in Ohio. It is so unique and so special. That's why they say the Ohio State University. And it says this is used before things that are of substance to note an individual or a class. To really note it, that's what you do. It says before a consonant, we pronounce the word the, with T-H-U-H, before a consonant, the. But before a vowel, it's double E, T-H-E-E, the Ohio State University, not the. It goes on from there. I know this is fascinating. Aren't you interested in this? I have till 12 after, so I got 30 seconds, and I'm taking it. In the British Dictionary, it says the word the is stressed and or emphatic when it describes a phrase or something of significance. And I bring all that around to the side. It's just not an annual faith promise conference. It is, say it with me, the annual faith promise. Because when it's a vow, it is the annual faith promise. We are having the annual faith promise, raising it to an elite level in the place of a church where everybody ought to get excited and bring people and do more than you've ever done. Because it is just not a faith promise. It is the faith promise. The annual faith promise conference. Now you are all experts on what the annual faith promise conference is all about. It's just not a bunch of words that sound good. There are meanings that when combined together give it an elite and a significant place in a part of a church. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to minister. I pray that the Holy Spirit will do something lasting in the heart of everybody here. May something unique come out of this year's Faith Promise Conference. Bless this church as a unit, as a whole, as a family, and as a body, as they seek to go forward. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.